Bibles one more time and turn to page 1152. Our text, our second scripture lesson today, will come in three segments, and I'd like to read the first segment now. I'll invite you to keep your place marked, and we'll go back and do segments two and three in a little while. But we're reading in one of the finest chapters of the Bible, the eighth chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans, and we're reading way down at the bottom of the left column, the last four words in the left column. "We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will." Now, again, keep your Bibles kind of a thumb or a bulletin in there, and we'll go back to that in a little while. This has been quite a week in the life of our congregation, and you get a sense of that as you listen to Jeannie talk a few moments ago. It affected a lot of people in a lot of different ways. For me, the call came in late Monday afternoon, and so I jumped in the car and made a dash up to Methodist Hospital. Some of you, I already know, some of you have made that dash. You know what it is to get the call and to head out, and it's quite a time. It's really quite a time, because usually you don't know what you're facing when you get there. All you know is that there's been something serious and somebody's been lifelined, and they're there, and you're not sure what you're going to walk into. As I was driving on Monday afternoon toward Methodist Hospital, it inevitably brought back a memory of another drive that I made to Methodist Hospital one evening a number of years ago. At that time, my oldest daughter, Eloise, was a student at IU. And she had headed out one cold January night with a friend to go back over to Bloomington. And on what seemed to be absolutely dry roads, she hit a patch of black ice, and the car became airborne, flipped over, sheared off a telephone pole. We received a call that she had been lifelined to Methodist Hospital. Some of you went through that, all of that with us, and you remember that time. But I remember driving up to Methodist Hospital and wondering whether we were going to walk in and be met with a chaplain who would pull us to one side and say, "We need to talk in a quiet room," or what we would face. And we walked in there, and it was interesting because the little cubby hole in the emergency room there was, for Courtney, was only two or three slots removed from where we saw Eloise that night. And we walked in, and she was setting up, and the doctors said, "We've run all the tests and there's nothing wrong with her." And I'll never forget the next morning, Sandy washing Kelsey's hair and all of the glass falling out from all of the broken glass in the car and so forth. And we brought her home that day, brought her home the next day. A few days later, after things kind of got settled down a little bit, I came in for prayer here. And it was one of the strangest prayers of my life, also one of the holiest prayers of my life. All I could say was thank you. For about 15 minutes, and I'm supposed to be eloquent, right? I mean, you know, I'm supposed to know how to pray. All I could get out was thank you, thank you, thank you. Because God knew that was what was in my heart. God knew that was what was in my heart. And for the first time in my life, that passage that we just read about how the Scripture hears what's going on inside us, and the Scripture helps form our prayer, that absolutely came to life for me. Because that was all I needed to say that night, that day that I prayed that prayer. All I had to say was thank you. To go back to the Old Testament for just a second, in the process of selecting a successor to King Saul, God made this statement. God said, "I see not as man sees, for man looks at outward appearances, but I look at the heart. I look at the heart." And sometimes what comes from our hearts is a groan. Sometimes we've lost someone that was precious to us, someone we loved dearly. And there is from our heart a groan. Or we may be in the process of losing something or someone that had all kinds of meaning to us. And the real thing that would come from the center of us is a groan. Or we're simply in a wilderness time when we can't seem to find our way. We can't seem to make our way into what should be ahead. And there is a groan. And I love the words. I love the words that are found there in verse 26 and 27. Says the Holy Spirit helps us with groans that words cannot express. With groans that words cannot express. I don't know if you've ever found yourself in that point of life or whatever where you simply did not have words to express what was going on, or maybe were not even in touch with what was going on inside you. And the idea here is that the Holy Spirit enters, the Holy Spirit that hears our hearts and helps us to form our prayers. Even when we cannot find the words, God's Spirit helps form our prayers. I've got a lot more to do. We can't linger with that, but that's just wonderful. It is. It's just beautiful. And think about that later today, okay? Please. All right, we got to keep going. Now we come to some of the finest words of faith affirmation that I think you'll find anywhere in the Bible. So let's go back to your Red Pew Bibles, and I want to read verse 35. Verse 35. Okay. You'll find it over in the right-hand column on page 1152. Paul writes, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword?" And we'll pause there as far as reading there. Paul refers in this text, in this verse, to some things that would seem to threaten to be able to separate us from the love of God. Some things that would appear to have the power to cut us off from God. And I want to look at those words, but I'm bringing into play a fair amount of research in the original Greek, and there are some nuances in each of those words that you might not get, probably don't get from the English. So I want to expand our thinking a little bit there. The first word I want to look at is translated in the NIV, trouble. Trouble. But in the original Greek, it contains an aspect or a sense of being squeezed. Of being squeezed. As I was thinking about that, some of you may remember a Neil Simon comedy. It was a play, and that was also made into a movie. I believe the movie was called Murder by Death. And there's all these famous detectives that gather at a mansion for a murder weekend and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, there's a scene in the movie where there's two of them in a room, and the walls of the room start coming in. They start moving in. If you remember that scene in that movie. But sometimes that's the way life is. It feels like everything is squeezing in on us, and we're trying to keep life in some kind of a perspective, at some kind of a distance, and everything squeezes in. So that's a kind of a nuance of that particular word. Trouble, it's translated in the NIV. Can such times separate you from the love of God? Paul would say, no. No. The next word, hardship, translated in the NIV, hardship, carries a sense of confinement. Of confinement. And as I was working on that, especially this week, I was thinking of Courtney laying there in that bed in the intensive care area of Methodist Hospital, and she is confined. They've got, and Jeannie referred to this, they've got her hands confined. They've got her feet confined so that she doesn't rip loose any tubes and that kind of a thing. But sometimes we feel that way in life too. We are confined. Or the phrase comes to mind, my hands are tied. My hands are tied. There are limits to what I can do, etc., etc. In such times, can we be separated from the love of God? No. No. Paul would say no. God is always there. Another word that we come to there is persecution. And this is especially about being afflicted for doing the right thing. This is when you take a stand, you do something that you know is the right thing, and you pay consequences. And Paul is saying, can that separate from you from the love of God? No, it cannot. It cannot. In fact, that may be the time that you will feel closest to God. Another word that shows up is famine. And here we're talking about a reference to not even having the bare minimums. Ever find a time in your life that you didn't have enough? Whatever it might be. Even in times of need and want, the love of God is there with us. There with us. And then the next word that shows up in the NIV is the word nakedness, is nakedness. And I think this refers to a basic human thing that we all, or most people, kind of worry about. I have a dream, a recurring dream. It's been going on for years. And in my dream, all of a sudden, it's Sunday morning, and I'm in the pulpit, and I haven't prepared anything. I mean, it's exactly this moment, and I haven't prepared anything, and everybody's looking for me to say something profound. And I got nothing to say. So that's one of the dreams. And then my psyche, to make it a little more interesting from time to time, I will also be naked. I'm not only unprepared, I'm buck naked. At which point, I am exceedingly grateful for the high. And very glad that I'm not in a church with a Lucite, you know, little podium kind of thing. So. And I bet you, if I asked every one of you, there would be several of you that you all have a recurring nightmare of being naked somewhere. And I think it's because we don't want for the world to see our imperfections. We don't want the world to see what's not. And even the supermodels find faults with their bodies and stuff. We all find faults with our physical. But it can go way beyond just physical. We don't want the world to see our lives. The private lives. The things that we don't want to be out there. And it's so hard when those things get out there. And I hear Paul saying, even then, the love of God is with you. Even then. And then the word shows up in the NIV, danger. And that word has a note in the Greek of not just danger like anything random, but it has a note of treachery. And that is where one has been betrayed. Where one has been betrayed. That which was trustworthy has turned out not to be trustworthy. Paul is saying even the love of God finds its way there. And then the final word in this passage, in this section, the passage is sword. But this isn't a sword like you and I would think of it, you know, kind of thing. It's a specific kind of a Roman weapon, and it was used often by assassins. And here the idea is that somebody would specifically come to take your life away. Can that separate you from the love of God? And Paul would say, no, no. Even in the midst of somebody out to get you, still the love of God is there for you. Okay, I want to look at the last section in our text this morning, so I'll ask you to go back to page 1152. And we're reading down in the lower right-hand column, lower part of that right-hand column at verse 37. Verse 37. Paul continues and he says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Okay? What does it mean to be a conqueror, as Paul is talking about here? Well, I can tell you this. We are not talking about achieving ambitious goals and desires. That's not what we're talking about. Paul is not saying, oh, you can count, if you're a business person, you can count on eliminating your competition, driving the others out of business, you know, riding roughshod through whatever and so forth. That is not what this is about. To be a conqueror, as he's talking about it here, is a spiritual matter. It's a spiritual matter, and it includes two things. On the one hand, it is to grow and be strengthened by hard times. For Paul, if you are a conqueror, that means when you go through hard times, you are strengthened and formed by those hard times in a beneficial way. Have you discovered yourself to be a conqueror from time to time? And the second component of being a conqueror, as Paul is talking about it here in a spiritual sense, is you know that you are making your way to something that is making all the troubles on this earth worthwhile. And to be a conqueror means I make my way toward an eternity that is with God. And Paul says every one of us can be a conqueror, a conqueror. You know, we might be tempted to look at what Paul is saying here as just kind of flowery language. Isn't that swell? I mean, he says some really nice things. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Okay. And we could just kind of go zip right through it. One of the commentators that I was reading, John MacArthur, said, let's put it into context, what he was writing. MacArthur says, Paul probably wrote his letter to Rome during a winter in Corinth, and it is not likely that either Paul or the Roman believers realized how short the time would be before they would stand in need of the apostles' comforting words in this passage. It would not be many years until they would face fierce persecution from a pagan government and from people that for now tolerated them with indifference. It would not be long before the blood of those to whom this epistle is addressed would soak the sands of Roman amphitheaters. Some would be mauled by wild beasts. Some would be slain by ruthless gladiators. And others would be used as human torches to light Nero's garden parties. So it's not just about flowery language and sounding sweet. And I would submit to you, we had no idea this time last week that these words would be so important to Courtney Lash and her family. We had no idea. She was sitting over there. And yet it all came into play. So I want to take, for just a few more moments, we won't go much longer, I want to take a real close look at the verses that we just read. And I want you to hear the assurance that is here for every one of us. Okay? I'm going to go back to the words in the NIV. Paul starts with a biggie. Death. Death. The one thing that we can't avoid. The one thing no computer program can eliminate, no DVR, DVD can rewind, and so forth. When I stood with Jason And I happened to be honored to be the first person in to see Courtney when we got to the hospital. Jason and I went in there. And she was covered with blood. Jeannie, you didn't mention she bit through her lip, too. What can separate us from the love of God? Can death? And Paul says, no. Even death will not have the power to take you away from the love of God. And then the next word that shows up is life. And here we're referring to the things that life brings. All of the things that life brings. I don't know what life's going to bring for you tomorrow or the next day or on down the road. I really don't know. My goodness, those of you who are graduates and on into college and so forth, I don't know what it's going to hold. Paul would stand here and say, nothing that will come along can separate you from the love of God. Angels. Now, when the word shows up in the NIV text, angels, I'll acknowledge there's controversy among the experts on this, but I think what it means is fallen angels. Fallen angels. That is, people that we thought were great. People that we thought were wonderful, had their act together, were trustworthy, whatever. And all of a sudden they show up to have feet of clay. And they don't measure up to what we hoped. And Paul would say, even when you've got those people in your life, and sooner or later everybody falls short, even as we encounter that, that cannot separate us from the love of God. The next word that shows up is demons, and that is the forces that we know are evil. We know they're of, you know, are bad news and so forth. Can they take us away from the love of God? No, no. And then we move on. The present or the future includes everything that's happening now and everything that will happen on into the future. We can survive all of those things. We can even be, to go back to what he said earlier, we can even be conquerors. We can even be conquerors here. Powers includes those in political and military power. I mean, it especially alludes to that. As I was reading that, I thought, if you've ever studied history and you looked at the Christians that stood in opposition to Hitler and the Nazis in World War II, and think here, especially if you know the name Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Can those powers take you, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and in concentration camps, and all those who have done the things of Christ? Can that take away God from you? No, no. It is always there, Paul would say. Height nor depth is the next phrase that comes along, and it really alludes to the height, the highest moment of a star's path, and the term depth to the lowest point of a star's path. To extrapolate from that just a moment, think about the highest moment in your life. Think about the most wonderful moment in your life, when you seem to have it all together and things were going great. At that point, God is there. And then take the lowest point in your mind, in your life. When was the lowest point in your life? When were you at the lowest ebb? And Paul says, even there, the love of God is present. And then he says, and anything else in all creation. He's casting wide and far here, as wide and far as language permits him to cast. And he says, nothing in all creation can take away the love of God for you. Well, there might be some weeks when those words would float in one ear and out the other. But not this week. Not in this church. Not with what we've been through with Courtney. because we've lived those words. Chuck, we went through them with you and several of the rest of you. We've lived those words. And I would say to everyone here, these words will have application some week in your future. I don't know when it'll come. But these words may be the one thing that you will cling to when everything else has been taken away. And I submit to you that that is blessed assurance. Jesus is mine, and nothing can take it away. So, receive that as a gift. Wherever you may go, and whatever you may do, God is with you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.